So, this service is titled In Harmony, as you saw from your order of service. And as the kids say, I'm not going to lie, I chose this topic so we could sing some songs. Especially Harvest Moon. I mean, God, I just never quite realized what a great song that is. And of course, playing it with this particular constellation of people is just magical. So I'm so thankful that they are here. But so I picked this topic, and then I started thinking about the songs, and then I started thinking about what it really meant to be in harmony, and I realized there's actually quite a bit there to explore. And so I just have a few things I want to say about what being in harmony or living in harmony is kind of like, or could be like, both in literal terms and in metaphorical terms. And we can start with the literal part, because, you know, we're here singing. And in Western music, harmony is basically just putting notes together that sound nice together, that sound harmonious. And so in the very basic version of this, you have, let's say, a G. Can you play a G? There's a G. So that's a nice note, a G, all by itself. But what if we put an A with it? Can we play the G and the A together?
G and A.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And then we have, it'll be easier now. We put in, so we have a G, and then the next one is, did I say A? I meant B. Of course I meant B. We're doing a triad. So G, B, and then a D is, it's called a major triad. It's just a 1-3-5 in the chord. So if you play a G chord, there's a nice little chord. It sounds nice together. It's a harmony. And so there's something about the resonance of the notes that goes together. So in this kind of, again, this is the most basic kind of harmony we have in Western music. And then you can have sequences of chords. So if we have a G chord, and then a D chord, and then we have a G chord again. And so that's a kind of nice little thing that you hear a lot in what we call 1-5-1 progression. So it's kind of a way of ending things. But you know, everything being harmonious doesn't always work. Sometimes you want to add actually a little dissonance. So that when you add dissonance, you would think that wouldn't be harmonious, but it adds something that makes the resolution then feel better. So, for example, in that D chord, D is the root. You could play a D and a C together. Can you do that? A D and a C.
Just a D and a C. Okay, yeah, I can do that.
Oh! Right. Those notes are right next to each other. If it was a piano, you'd be going like this. Yeah, that doesn't sound that great, right? But if you put the C in that D chord in the right configuration, it's what we call a D7 chord, and it sounds pretty nice. Can you play a D7?
Oh, D7.
D7.
Yeah.
Is that a D7?
That's a D7.
Okay, we'll try a G, and then the D7, and then the G. So if you've ever sung a hymn, amen, this is what happens. You have a 1 chord and then a 5 chord with a 7, and then you resolve. And it's kind of like you add the tension, and then the tension resolves. And that's kind of what makes it interesting. And that adding of dissonance is kind of one of the major things I want to talk about, because being harmonious in everything is not, first of all, it's not possible, but second of all, it's not that interesting. I mean, if you think about, think about romantic comedies. You know, if you know rom-coms, you know, people get together and they meet each other, and if they just meet each other and then they fall in love and then they get married and then the movie's over, right? I mean, there's no tension, there's no story. There always has to be an obstacle. So there's always, they find each other and then something keeps them apart. Oh no, there's some secret that he never resolved. She never came out to her family. You know, oh no, there's somebody who's trying to steal one of them. You know, all of those things that happen in the formula. You have those, it's kind of dissonance, and then it comes back together and resolves at the end. And so you have this feeling of relaxation when it happens. So the real question though is, how do you live in a harmonious way? What does that even mean? I'm reading this book that my mother gave me about the California coastline. And in it, because I'm from California, and in it, the author is arguing, she says, look, We got a lot of coastline communities, coastal communities that are threatened by sea level rising. And their typical response is to build higher seawalls or to dump more riprap down to try to, you know, protect the walls from the, or even to dump more sand on the beaches so they don't get washed away. And she says, that's, you know, I understand the laudable goal of protecting a community, but that's not living harmoniously. And she goes back and looks at the people who used to live in California before it was industrialized and says, look, those people, if the sea level rose, they moved back. And then when the sea level went back down, they came back down closer again. That's kind of living harmoniously. It's sort of like listening to what's happening and responding to it in not so much of a rigid way of trying to establish your perimeter and kind of keep it there, but to say, okay, we're in a dynamic relationship here. And I think similarly, I would just give an aside. I don't want to be idealized about living harmoniously in nature. Nature is not always pretty, as you may know. I think about beavers around here. Beavers, they do a lot of damage. You know, they cut down trees, they build dams, it just messes up watersheds, stuff like that. But it's all part of a greater whole. There's a lot of predation. You know, animals eat each other. It's not pretty. But there is a way in which it kind of all works together. In the human sense, what would it mean to live harmoniously, for example, in a relationship with another person, a family member, a loved one? It seems to me the first principle of living harmoniously is you have to listen. You know, it's like in music, you can read the notes on the page, or you can know what note you're supposed to sing, but unless you're actually listening to what's happening around you, it's not going to sound that great. It's going to be very mechanical. And so there's something about listening and being in a dynamic relationship with other people that are important. Living harmoniously with someone does not mean being in lockstep. It doesn't mean that you have to have the same values at every moment, the same interests at every moment, the same energy levels at every moment, the same, yes, I'd like to have this for dinner at every moment. What it means is that if one person or two or however many people we're talking about are having one kind of experience, you're listening and responding. And maybe it's a negotiation, and maybe it's a stepping back and letting them have their experience, or maybe it's a, you know, let's get into this and solve this problem. Whatever it is, it's dynamic. And actually, I think the thing about tension actually fits with relationships too. Tension and dissonance and resolution. There are a lot of relationship authors who talk about how in long-term relationships, one of the issues that comes up is that there's so much intimacy, so much closeness, that there's no space in between. There's no place for that kind of a little bit of tension to have a resolution in, you know, there's no room for surprise or mystery or passion because everything's kind of fused together all the time. And so there, the goal is also, just like in singing, I mean, we're going to be singing some fairly close harmonies in a little bit, but there still has to be enough room that we can hear each other and know what's going on so they're not just fused together. And I guess that leads to the other point that I'd like to make about living in harmony is it takes intention. You know, it takes practice. And it takes focus. We've been singing together for a long time, this crowd. And sometimes we pick up a song and we don't even have to think about where the harmonies go. Three Little Birds is a good example. I don't know if we've ever actually worked on the harmonies for that one. No, you sing the song. It's a great song. Everybody knows the song. You can hear it in your head. And we kind of know where we're each going to go. And so we sing it. The next two songs we're doing, not like that. We started rehearsing these and we're like, oh man, this is really hard. Then we can't remember what we're doing and we're trying to figure it out. Should we try to do it like the record does it? No, that doesn't work because we don't know what they're doing. So, you know, it's like, how is it? It takes some stick-to-itiveness and it takes some intention and practice. So it takes practice, it takes work. And then the final thing I'd say is, so you listen, you have some intention. The other thing is, when it's your turn, when you have a part to sing, you have to risk singing it. You have to step up. And I think this is just as true in life as it is in a song. Because each of you myself included, each of us has a part to play here in this church, in our wider community. I don't know what it is for you. You know, I'm always trying to discern what it is for myself. But that's kind of our job as human beings. It's to listen to what's happening around us with people, the political world, the environment, discern what our place in that is, discern what our part is, and play that part, sing that tune in harmony with what else is happening. If we do that, that's living harmoniously. And I wish that for myself. I wish it for all of you. And that's what we're going to do with this next song. So as for everything that we offer here today, it's not a performance. It's part of a worship service. It's for you to take in. And again, let it change you, shape you, move you in any way that you feel called. So we'll sing one voice for you now.